Shalom to all. Today's office of Zara Dav Chafei, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Mirim Sar Mas Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Gemara previously had brought a Machlokes Reb Elazar Reb Shlomo Nachmani how to understand a particular pasuk. So it brings a similar Machlokes. And this story regarding a battle that Yeshua was waging on behalf of the Gevinim, who are a nation living in Eretz Yisrael. They had made a treaty with Yeshua. Later, they were attacked and appealed to him for help. So this battle went until Erev Shabbos, and Yeshua wanted to finish it, and therefore he davened that the sun should stand still. And as the pasuk tells us, Vayidem Hashemesh VeYorech Amud. Sun stood still and the moon stopped ad yikoim goy oivav until a nation took vengeance on their enemies. Halohi ksuval sefer yashar, is it not written in sefer yashar? Now the question is, my sefer yashar, what does this mean? Sefer yashar, literally yashar means to be straight or upright. So what does it mean, the book of the upright or the straight people? So amar b'chia bar abba amar b'yechanon, this is sefer Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, this is the sefer Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, meaning sefer Bereishis shenikru yasharim, they were called yasharim. How do we know this? Shenemar, because it says Bilam had expressed as follows, talmos nafshi mos yasharim, my soul should die the death of yasharim. Vechemizo, where's this nace hinted to in Bereishis, namely that Yeshua is going to stop the sun? That's because the pasuk says, "V'zariyam loyagayim." This means, and his offspring are going to fill the nations. And how do we understand that? Emosayyam loyagayim. When is it his offspring is going to fill the nations? Meaning, when is it that everyone's going to know about his offspring? B'shasha amdaloy chamal Yeshua. At the time the sun stood for Yeshua, this pasuk was said by Yaakov about Yosef's son Ephraim, whom we know Yeshua is descendant of. And the way that all the nations are going to know about him is not by winning one military victory, because not everyone's going to hear about him, but when the sun stopped, so everybody knows about that, and that must be what the pasuk is referring to. Now we continue discussing this. It says in the pasuk, "Vayamay Hashem b'chatzia shemayim," and the sun stood halfway through shemayim, b'loy atzlavay, and it didn't hurry to set kiyom tamim, like a full day. So we see that there's two times the sun stopped. First, it says "Vayamay Hashem b'chatzia yom," so halfway through the day the sun stopped, and then "v'loy atzlavay" also means that it didn't hurry to set. So that means it also stopped at the end of the day. Now the question is, v'kama, how long did the sun not set for? Which means how long did the sun shine for that day? So we have a three machlokes. So he tells us 24 hours. What's the breakup of the hours? Azal shis, it moved for 6 hours, v'kam shis, and then it stopped for 6 hours, and then azal shis, it moved for another 6 hours, v'kam shis, and stopped for another 6 hours. That means that kula milsa kiyom tamim, this entire situation, this entire story of the sun being in the sky was 24 full hours. And Amar Blazer says the shleshim shis, it was 36 hours. Azal shis v'kam treisar, it moved for 6 hours, and then stopped for 12. Azal shis, it moved for another 6 hours, v'kam treisar, and stopped for another 12. Or does he get this from? Because Amidasa kiyam tamim, it's stopping, meaning the stopping of the sun, that it just stood still, was a full day. That's 24 hours. The Hainu moved for 6 and then another 6, and the amount that it stopped was 12 and then 12, which is a total of 24. So 24 plus 12 that it was moving is 36. And here's the third sheet of Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmani Amar. He tells us, Arbay Mushmane, the sun was shining in the sky for 48 hours. Azal Shis would come Tresar, it moved for 6 and then stopped for 12. Azal Shis would come Esu Varba, it moved for another 6 and then stopped for 24 full hours. Shem, because the it didn't hurry to set like a full day. That's mashma, that the first time that it stopped, it wasn't like a full day, and the second time it stopped, it was a full day. So second time is 24 hours, and the first time was 12 hours, so it stopped for a total of 36 hours, and it traveled for another 12 hours, that's 6 and 6, and so it's a total of 48 hours that the sun was in the sky that day, according to Shmuel Nachmani. Now, some say that this is the machlokes, but they sefta pligi, they argue with the addition, meaning the argument is only how many extra hours of daylight there was. And this is how it works. Rishu Malevi says, that the sun stood for an extra 24 hours because Azal Shis, it traveled for 6, become Tresar, and stopped for 12. Azal Shis, become Tresar, then traveled for another 6, and then stopped for another 12. Amidasa Kiyam Tamim, that means that it stood in the sky. It stopped like a full day. Again, that's Lashon of the Pasuk, and that's 24 hours. Or Zerblazar Amar, he says, Shloshim Shesh, it stopped for 36 hours because Azal Shis, it traveled for 6, become Tresar, and stopped for 12. Azal Shis, it traveled for another 6, become Esmer Arba, and then stopped for 24. Where's he got this from? Because the pasuk says v'loy atzlovi kiyam tamim, it didn't hurry to set like a full day, which means that before it set, it stopped for 24 hours, and that means that the earlier time was 12 hours. And Rosh Hashanah says arbay mushmayna, the extra time that it stopped again was 48 hours. Azal shis v'kam esrim arba, it traveled for 6 and stopped for 24. Azal shis v'kam esrim arba, it traveled for another 6 and stopped for another 24. And where's he get this from? Makshe midasa l'biyasoi, he compares the stopping to its setting. Ma biyasoi kiyam tamim, just like right before it set, it stopped for a full day of 24 hours. So too, when it stood still in the middle of the day, that was for a full 24 hours as well. So it means the extra time that the sun was in the sky, according to Shmuel Nachmani, is 48 hours. And again, that's in addition to the regular 12 hours that it's in the sky. And we have two other situations that the sun stopped in the sky. Tana was taught in the Yeshua, just like the sun stopped for Yeshua, kach Moshe, so too it stopped for Moshe, Nagdim ben Gurion, and for Nagdim ben Gurion. Yeshua Kroy, Yeshua's Psukim, as we just quoted, Nagdim ben Gurion, Gemara. Nagdim ben Gurion is Gemara, which means we have a Messiah for this. It's actually Gemara Gemara Maseches Tainis. It's all a story about Nakdiman, who's a wealthy yid, borrowed 12 cisterns of water from a non-Jew for all the Eile Regalim, with the promise that if it doesn't rain, refilling the wells by a certain date, he would pay a lot of money. That day came, it only rained at the end of the day, so the non-Jew claimed that the day was over. Nakdiman still owed him the money, so he davened to Hashem, who made a nace that the sun was still visible, even though really it should have set. The question is, L'Moshe Minolan, how do we know that the sun stood still for Moshe? And the answer is, Asya Achel Achel, we have Gzer Shava Achel Achel. Ksem Hacha says over here regarding Moshe, when he went to wage war with Sicha and Melech HaMairi, Achel Teis Pachtecha, I'm going to place your fear in them. Ksem Hazan B'Yeshua, and it says, Rabbi Yeshua, Achel Gadelcha, and so we see Achel Achel. Rabbi Yechon argues, he says, no, what's Gzer Shava? Asya Teis Teis, Gzer Shava Teis Teis. Ksem Hacha says, by Moshe Benu, Achel Teis Pachtecha, and Ksem Yeshua says, by Yeshua, B'yoim Teis Hashem, Esu HaMairi, and that's Gzer Shava. Whereas Rav Shomar Nachmani Amar, he says, Megufe Dekrash Amaslei, we learn it from the Pasuk itself by Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Pasuk say? Asher Yishman Shimacha Rugzu V'chol M'Panecha, that when they hear about you, they're going to tremble and they're going to be afraid of you. Now, Amasai Rugzu V'chol M'Panecha, when is it they're going to tremble and be afraid of you? That's B'Shasha Amdol Eicham Moshe, at the time when the sun stood still for Moshe, because that's the only way everyone's going to know about him. As we explained by Yeshua, the only way everyone can know that a nace was done for him is the sun stands still. So we see this by the Pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Nothing more asked, Meisve, how can you say that the sun stood still for others other than Yeshua? The Pasuk tells us by Yeshua, there was no day like that before or after it, which is mashma that the sun never stood for anyone except for Yeshua. We have two answers. Either you could say that the other times by Moshe and by Nakdim and Ben Gurion, the sun didn't stop for as many hours as it did by Yeshua. It was only by Yeshua where it stood for so many hours that never happened before or after. Alternatively, we could say there weren't any hailstones. The pasuk says by Yeshua, by Yubinusam Bnei Yisrael, it was when they ran away from Bnei Yisrael, they were going down with Beis Chayron, and Hashem threw huge stones upon them from Shemayim ad Azekah up until Azekah by Musu, and they died. And so what it means is that the whole story by Yeshua never happened before or afterwards, namely the sun stopped and there was also hailstones that came out of Shemayim that struck their enemies. That's something that was unique that never happened before or afterwards. Now at the beginning of the Gemara, we quoted this pasuk that said Sefer HaYashar, and we had a little discussion what Sefer HaYashar is. So we continue talking about this. Ksev, we have a pasuk that tells us this is David HaMelech giving a hesped on Shaul HaMelech when he died. Vayemer, he said, Lelamed Bnei Yehuda Kashas, to teach the sons of Yehuda Kashas, which means the skill of being an archer or archery. Hine Ksuval Sefer Yashar, this is written in Sefer Yashar. And the question is, my Sefer Yashar, what Sefer Yashar referring to? So we have Machlaikas, Amar Uchibar Abba, Amar Biechanon, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shinekri Yisharim. This is Sefer, meaning Bereshis of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. They were called Yisharim. And how do we know they were called Yisharim? As we said earlier in the Gemara, Dechseb Behu, it says about them, Bilam had said, Tomas Navshi Mois Yisharim, Usiyah Chrisi Kamayhu, and Mehechar Mizo, where's this hinted to in Bereshis, the Yehuda specifically are archers, and that's why David HaMelech said that we should teach Bnei Yehuda archery. So this is the pasuk where Yaakov had told Yehuda, Yehuda atayiducha chacha, Yehuda, your brothers shall recognize you, Yalcha ba'aref aivecha, your hand is at the back of the neck of your enemies. Now, ba'ezu hi mocham shetzricha yad kineged ayref, what type of warfare needs the hand at the back of the neck? Heva aimer zukashas, that's archery, because when the archer wants to aim properly, his hand, which is pulling back the string, has to be parallel to his eye, and the eye is parallel to the back of the neck. As we see, the Yehuda specifically are archers. Now, Rablazar argues that Zeh Sefer Mishneh Torah. Sefer Yashar is referring to Mishneh Torah, which we know as Devarim. The reason why it's called Mishneh Torah is because Mishneh Torah means a repetition of the Torah, and Devarim is in large part a repetition of certain parts of the Torah beforehand. And my car will Sefer Yashar. Why is it called Sefer Yashar? Because the pasuk says, "Ve'asisa ha'yashar atayve in Hashem, you shall do what is Yashar and Toiv in the eyes of Hashem." And Ve'echar Mizo, where is it hinted to in Sefer Devarim? The sons of Yehuda are experts at archery. That's because in Mizoisa Brach, the pasuk says, "Yad of Rav Loi, Yehuda's hands will fight for him." And Ve'izuhi Melchamish Tzricha Shteyudaim, what type of warfare needs two hands, because Yadav is plural, two hands, have Amzu Keshes, this is archery, because you have to hold onto the bow with one hand and pull the string back to let the arrow fly with the other hand. And Rosh Rachmani Omar, he says, there's a third opinion, that's Sefer Shaiftim, the Sefer Yashar, Sefer Shaiftim. But my car relates Sefer Yashar, why is it called Sefer Yashar? Because the Pasuk says, in those days, Ein Melch B'Yisrael, there's no king among the Yidden, Ish HaYashar B'Ein of Yaseh, everyone did what was Yashar, what was right in his eyes, that's what's called Sefer Yashar. And Mehechar Miza, where's archery hinted to over here? Because the Pasuk says, Laman Das Dars B'Nei Yisrael, Lamdim Melchama, so that all the generations of Bnei Yisrael would know to teach them Muhammad, to teach them warfare. And what type of warfare needs to be taught? This is a bow. Any person, even if he doesn't know how to use a sword, could technically pick it up and swing it around and hurt somebody that's around him. But a bow, you really have to know what you're doing in order to be effective with it, and that's why you have to learn how to be an archer, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. Now the question is, how do we know this pasuk is referring to Yehuda? And the answer is, because the pasuk says, who's going to go up for us towards the Kanani to be the first ones to fight them? And Vayemar Hashem said, Yehuda Yala, Yehuda should go up. So we see from here that Yehuda was the one that waged war. And if in the same Sefer we're talking about learning warfare, it must be that it's referring to Yehuda learning how to be archers. And here we have another machlokes with the same man to Amrim regarding how to understand the pasuk. When Hashem told Shmuel HaNavi that he needs to anoint Shaul as king, he informed him, "Don't worry, I'm going to send Shaul to you, so make sure you have a suda ready." And that's what happened. Shaul went looking for some donkeys that were lost by his father. He ended up coming to Shmuel to ask him where the donkeys would be, because that's what you could do back in the day, ask the Navi questions like that, and there was a whole suda ready. Shmuel said, "Oh, this is Shaul," and brought him to the head of the table and gave him the choicest portion. Now, what was given to him? So the pasuk says, "Vayarm hatabach has a shayk ve'aleha vayasam lefnei Shaul," and the tabach, which is the cook or the chef, he lifted up the shayk and that which was on it and put in front of Shaul. Now, the shayk is the part of the leg which is right below the thigh, and this is a very choice part of the animal, and ve'aleha, that which was on it. So the question is, my ve'aleha, what does that mean, that which was on the shayk? So Rabbi Yochanan says, shayk ve'alya, it's the shayk and the tail, and my ve'aleha, why is the tail being called that which is on the shayk? The samcha shayk le'alya, because the shayk supports the alya, it supports the whole area by the tail. And Rabbi Lazar says, shayk ve'chaze, it's the shayk and the chest, and my ve'aleha, what's the understanding of that which is on it? D'machzay le'chaze elevei the shayk, because a person places the chaze on top of the shayk, kibaya nufe, when it needs to be waved around, like by a carbon shlomim, when certain parts have to be waved around, the chaze is on the shayk, umanfile, and then it's waved around, so that's what it means, that the shayk and that which is on it. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, he says, shayk v'shayfi, it's referring to the shayk and the shayfi. Shayfi is translated as the cap of the thigh bone, and my ve'he'olel, what does it mean, that which is on it? Shayfi ilav v'he'de shaykai, because when you look at the animal's leg, the shayfi is on top of the shayk. And now we can explain the Mishnah. We had to say that a Jewish woman is not allowed to be in seclusion with a non-Jewish man because they're suspected of a raya. So the question is, Mayaskinun, what are we talking about over here, that the Mishnah has to tell us dafka that a Jewish woman is not allowed to be with a non-Jewish man? Ilam b'chad, if you want to say we're talking about one woman with one man, is it permitted for her to even be with a Jewish man alone? V'tanan, we have a Mishnah that says, one Jewish man is not allowed to be secluded with two Jewish women, and for sure he's not allowed to be with one woman, because the issue of Yichud, we know the reason why one man is not allowed to be with two women is because Nashim Daitan Kalois, and he could easily seduce them to do an Avera. So again, for sure, one Jewish man and one Jewish woman, so it goes without saying that a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man aren't allowed to be Yichud together. So obviously that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. So on top, El Batlasa, rather you want to say the Mishnah is talking about a Jewish woman with three non-Jewish men. The reason why we jump to three and not say two is because sometimes it's usher for even two Jewish men to be with one woman. And so maybe the Mishnah is talking about a Jewish woman being secluded with three non-Jewish men. But that can be because the Chavasa Gaba Yisrael Prutzim Mishari, in the corresponding case with Yidden, if they're Prutzim, if they're inappropriate, would that be permitted? No, because of Tanah. We have Mishnah that says, Aval Isha Achas Misechadasim Shnei Anashim, that one woman is allowed to be secluded with two Jewish men. Vamar Behudam Shmuel, he says, Loi Shonal Bekshayim, that's only if they're kosher, they're good people, Aval Prutzim, but if they're Parutz, they're inappropriate, they're promiscuous, Afilo Asar Nami Loi. She's not even be with 10 Jewish men like this, because my Sahaya, there's a story, Vaitsu Asar Mita, 10 men took one woman out on a bed, they pretend that she died, and they didn't have air with her outside the cities. And so obviously, one Jewish woman isn't allowed to be with even three non Jewish men, or even more than that. The Gemara answers, Loi Tzricha, the whole Chiddush of the Mishnah is, Be'ishta Imai, that even when the non Jewish man's wife is with him, a Jewish woman is still not allowed to be in seclusion with him. Why is that? Because Ayu Chavim ain't Ishta Mishamartai, a non Jew, his wife doesn't guard him, she doesn't prevent him from being Ayver Arias, Aval Yisrael, Ishta Mishamartai, a Yid. Even if he's not kosher, he's a Parut, his wife will still prevent him from being Ayver Arias with another Jewish woman. But again, a non Jewish man, even if his wife is there, she's not going to prevent him from doing something inappropriate with a Jewish woman. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. We continue asking on the Mishnah, V'tipiklei Mishum Shvichas Damim. Why don't we just say that the reason why a Jewish woman is not allowed to be with a non-Jewish man in seclusion is because he might kill her. The same thing he said right afterwards in the Mishnah, that a Jewish man is not allowed to be with a non-Jewish man because he might kill him, so it should be the same thing with a Jewish woman. So Amar Yirmi, he answers, B'isha Chashuva Askin, and the Mishnah is talking about a Chashuva woman. The Mishnah is saying, you know that he's afraid of her. When we say Isha Chashuva, that means she has connections to the government, to the Malchus, to the rulers, and therefore the non-Jewish man is afraid to kill her. But since she's Yafesh, she's beautiful, she's good-looking, he will try to be Oyver Arias with her, and that's why she's not allowed to be in seclusion with him. Ravidi Amar, he gives a different answer, Isha Klei Zayna Aleha, a woman, she has her weapons with her, which means we're never afraid that a non-Jew is going to kill a woman. All he wants to do is have znus with her, but not kill her. That's what means her weapons are with her. We're never really afraid that she's going to be killed by him. The only fear is that he's going to do something inappropriate with her. That's what the Mishnah says. She can't seclude herself because of Arias and not because he's going to kill her. Asking more, my benayu, what's a practical nafkamina between these two opinions? The answer is, the difference is, isha chashuva bein anashim, v'she'ene chashuva bein hanashim, if she's important among men, but not among women. Important among men means she has connections, so the non-Jew is afraid of her, and being important or non-important among women means she's either pretty or she's not pretty. If she's pretty, if she's good looking, so then she's important among women. If she's not, then she's not important among women. So in this case, where she has connections, but she's not good looking, Sir Birmio says she's allowed to be secluded with a non-Jew because he's not going to be attracted to her due to the fact that she's not good looking, and he's not going to kill her because she has connections. But according to Rabbi Edi, she's not allowed to be biyichud with him because even though you're right, he's not going to kill her. That's only due to the fact that Isha Klei Zayno Ima, but he still will want to have relations with her even though she's not good looking. That's again according to Rabbi Edi, and that would be the difference. Now, Tanya Bras Rav Ida Bar Avin, we have a Brisa just like Rav Ida Bar Avin. The Brisa tells us, Ha'isha, Afal Pisha Shalom Ima, a woman, even though Shalom is with her, peace is with her, which means every single woman automatically does not have to be afraid that she's going to be killed. Like Tisiach Nimayan, she's still not allowed to be Yichud with a non Jew, Mereshah Chashidim Al Rayas, because of Chashid Al Rayas, and that's obviously like Rav Ida Bar Avin, because according to him, every woman doesn't have to be afraid that she's going to be killed by a non Jew due to the fact that Isha Klezaino Ima. We continue explaining the Mishnah, Lo Yisiach Adam Imayim, a Jewish male is not allowed to be Yichud with a non Jew, and that's because we're afraid they're going to kill him. And Tanarbon, if you have a Brisa about this, Yisroshin is Damloy Evgacham Maderech, a Yid who encounters a non Jew along the road. Basically, they happen to meet up and walk along the same direction together. So he has to be careful that the non Jew is going to do something to him. So what should he do? Tafel Eminoi, he should keep him to his right side, meaning as the Yid's walking, he should make sure that the non Jew is on his right side. And as in case if the non Jew tries to do something, the Yid will be able to use his right hand, which is stronger, to prevent him. He tells us that Basayef, if the non Jew has a sword, Tafel Eminoi, so then the Yid should keep the non Jew to his right side. Because remember, most people were righties, so they kept their swords on their left side and they would reach across their body with their right hand to draw their sword. And that means that if the non-Jew is to the Yid's right, the Yid will be able to see that the non-Jew is reaching across to be able to grab a sword, and then the Yid could use his right arm to grab the sword or grab the non-Jew and prevent him from doing this. Whereas B'makel, if all the non-Jew has is a walking stick, so he's holding it in his right hand already, Tafel L'smailoi, so then the Yid should keep him on his left side, because even though the Yid only has his left hand to protect him, still it's much quicker access to get to the non-Jew whose staff is already in his right hand ready to strike. Therefore, strategically, it's much better for the Yid to keep the non-Jew to his left side to be able to protect himself that way. The Brisa continues, let's say this Yid and non-Jew that are walking together, they're going up or they're going down. The Yid should never be below and the guy above. The Yid should always make sure that he's above and the non-Jew is below. So if they're going up, the Yid should make sure to go first, and if they're going down, the Yid should make sure that the non-Jew is in front of him. And the Yid should also not bend down in front of the non-Jew in order to tie his shoe or pick something up from the ground. Why is that? Shemin Yartz's Gulgaltai, because maybe he's going to crush his skull. The non-Jew is going to take the opportunity to just jump on the Yid's head, so the Yid should be very careful about this. The Brisa continues, if the non-Jew asks the Yid where he's going, he should increase the road for him, meaning instead of telling him where he's going, he should say he's going to a further place. That way, if the non-Jew thinks to himself, okay, I have quite the distance to be able to plan on how I could harm this Jew, the Yid is also going to turn off the road and say, okay, I reached my destination, tricking the non-Jew and preventing himself from getting harmed. Where do we get this from? Just like Yaakov did for Esav. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Adasher Avi Aladoni Seira, until I come to my master and Seir, Uksib, where the Pasuk says, Yaakov knows the Sukkos, Yaakov went to Sukkos. This is when Yaakov met up with Esav and his 400 men. Esav said, Yaakov, come, let's go together. Yaakov said, I have a whole bunch of kids, little ones, and all my sheep and goats and flocks and whatnot. I'm very slow. Why don't you go ahead and I'll meet up with you in Seir? Now Yaakov turned off the road way before Seir, he went to Sukkos. And so we see from here clearly that you should try to trick somebody who's going to harm you by telling him that you're going to a further place than you really are. And now we have two stories about this. Story number one, Ma'aseh B'Tamid Rabbi Kiva, the story of B'Tamid Rabbi Kiva, Shoyu Halchon L'Kziv, they were going along the way to Kziv, and Pagu B'Hem Listim, armed robbers who were Jewish, met up with them, and Amr Lahan, they asked them, Lana Tam Halchem, where are you going? Amr Lahan, so Tamid Rabbi Kiva responded, La'akai, we're going to Akai, which is further than Kziv. And Kimi Shigiu L'Kziv, once they got to Kziv, Pershu, they turned off the road to go to Kziv, and the Listim realized that they were tricked. So Amr Lahan, they asked them, Talmidim Yatem, whose Talmidim are you? Who's your Rebbe? Amr Lahan, so Talmidim responded, Talmidim Rabbi Kiva or Talmidim Rabbi Kiva. And Amr Lahan, these Jewish Listim told them, Ashri Rabbi Kiva Talmidav, praiseworthy Rabbi Kiva is Talmidim, Shaloi Baga Bahen Adam Rame Olam, that an evil person was never able to harm them, basically giving praise to them and the Rebbe that they're very wise. Now we have another story, Rabbi Menashe Hava Azal Beit Tursa. Rabbi Menashe was on the way to Beit Tursa, Chava Amaral on top, Pagu Beit Ganavi, robbers met him. Robbers are not necessarily armed, they're less harmful than Listim, and they were also Jewish. Amrulay, they asked him, Long Kazlis, where are you going? So Amlani told him, Pompadisa to Mopadisa, which was further, it was beyond Beit Tursa. And Kimat Beit Tursa, when he came to Beit Tursa, Parish, he turned off the road to go there. And Amrulay, they told him, Talmid Yehuda Ramaat, you're the Talmud of Yehuda the Rama, Yehuda the Deceiver. Rabbi Menashe's Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda. And so Amrulahu, he responded to them, Yodisule, you know Rabbi Yehuda, you know that he's a Rama, that he's a trickster, a deceitful person. Yehi Ravad Lehevi Hanu Inchi Bishamte, it should be Hashem's will that those people, meaning you, robbers, you should be under the power of his curse. Shamte really is the Lashon of a Cherem, excommunicating a person, but this is like a curse of a Cherem. And what happened? Azu Avdu Gnei Vasa, Esrim Tartan Shnin, Veloyatzachu. They went and continued being robbers for 22 years, and they weren't successful because of this curse. And Kivin the Chazu, once they saw this, Azu Kulu Tavisham Tayu, they all came and asked for the curse to be taken away from them so they could be successful. And Vahamu Chad Gerdana, there was a weaver among them, Deloy Aslo Shruya Shamte, that he didn't come to have the curse taken away, and Achle Aryeh, a lion ate him. And Haidam Rinchi, this understanding what people say, Gerdana Deloy Taizon, a weaver who's not humble, he doesn't have humility, Shata Batzer Mishnei, his years are less, seemingly like what we see in this story. Now we just compare these two stories. Tachaz Ozi, Ma Ben Ganavim of Bavel, V'listim to Eretz Yisrael, come and see the difference between the Ganavim of Bavel and the listim of Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned, the listim are armed robbers. They're way more dangerous than Ganavim. And still we see these Ganavim were Mechutzafim. They called Rabbi Yehuda a Ramai. They said this really inappropriate thing about him. Whereas the listim, the more dangerous ones of Eretz Yisrael, they had Kavod Chachamim. They praised Rabbi Kivin his Talmidim, and that speaks to the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, that even the Oiv de Havera are on a unique level of sorts. We're going to stop here for today. Epic of tomorrow, continue to discuss a Jewish woman being with a non-Jew. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.